Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tengwall. Landon, our second show of Landon and Jim versus the World. We're now veterans at it, right?
Yeah, and it's still ringing good, Jim. The Landon first, it's still ringing good. I'm still happy that I guessed the correct serial number on the dollar bill that allowed me to have my name first on the show. Jim had to take a back seat. He might be a little upset, but you know the cards fall how they fall, man.
You know, you're wrong. I'm not a little upset. I'm a lot upset. And it was my dollar bill. And by the way, I did find the dollar bill. I do have it because it was set aside in my car. Next time I see you, I will present it to you so you could frame it. You could have it. That is why your name goes first. Just tell you what our goal is with this new show. Is to say, you know what, we've been talking Penn State football primarily on our show for the last so many months, but Landon and I both agreed we have more things to say about more topics. So that's why we created this show. We could pick out essentially whatever we want to talk about. It'll mostly be sports related, but it'll hit some other topics that we both enjoy. I think food will come up, Landon. I'm not sure why, except that both you and I like that topic. And I want to make sure I mentioned that our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That is where I purchased my car. It was a great experience, great price. The people treated me fantastic over there. And by the way, I bought my car from them prior to them becoming a sponsor of our show. So that was completely independent. It was a great deal. It was after that that they became a sponsor of our show. If you want to check them out, you could go to their West College Avenue showroom or check them out online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. We're looking forward to continuing to work with them. All right, Landon. You know, it's ironic. It wasn't our thought going into this show, but a week ago, kind of one of the big news items in the sports world was the death of Bill Walton. Now, Bill Walton was a my era kind of guy, okay? And I think I probably brought – I really admired Bill Walton and the way he played both at college with the Portland Trail Blazers, and he was just an interesting, fun guy. Particular interest to me. But we had another guy pass away way too early in the sports world. And this is a guy that has some meaning to you.
Yeah, unfortunately, Larry Allen, who was regarded by some people as one of the best offensive linemen of all time, passed away at the age of 52. He was on vacation with his family in Mexico. So obviously it's really sad, especially when somebody dies that young. It's hard. And yeah, I have a children's book. I even wrote about it in the book. Larry Allen is my favorite offensive lineman ever. There's some really special Larry Allen clips where, there's a video where John Madden for a whole drive, him and Pat Summerall are talking and he just keeps going back to Larry Allen. And you know, that doesn't normally happen. You don't go back to an offensive lineman play after play and highlight them. But I mean, it was just a drive of Larry Allen. And you can look it up on YouTube. Just look up Larry Allen, John Madden commentary, and you'll see it. And it is just a whole drive long where he is just demolishing dudes and he can't be stopped and they will not stop running behind Larry Allen. And they obviously punch it in for a touchdown. So that one's really special. And then there's the video of Larry Allen tracking down a cornerback that picked the ball off. And it is pretty impressive to see someone that big move that fast. So obviously really, really sad to hear that news. But Jim, when I was kind of... when I was looking at this, I did not know where Larry Allen went to college. Do you have any clue where he went to college at?
Oh, you know, no, I don't.
No.
Just straight out, I don't.
After I tell you, I still don't think you'll know where it is. He went to Sonoma State, and he was drafted in 1994 by the Dallas Cowboys. I still don't even know where Sonoma State is, but we'll leave that to the fans. But 11-time Pro Bowl selection, You know, it's so weird to think he was just drafted in 1994. It really wasn't that long ago. Well, I guess 30 years. I don't know, Jim, how does the 90s sound like a long time ago to you?
It seems like yesterday landed to me.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's obviously really sad. But, you know, there is that reality of honestly playing offensive line. And when these guys, you know, that you play for 15 years, and especially these offensive linemen that, you know, you're carrying since the age of 17, 18, you are 320 pounds. That wears and tears on the body. And then, you know, normally when linemen retire, they'll go one of two ways. They're either going to get really skinny, like you see with Joe Thomas and these other guys, or they kind of continue to keep that weight on. And unfortunately, Larry Allen, obviously we don't know what happened or anything like that. But I think this does, you know, make a good point that, you know, you do need to, these guys after football, when they retire, they need to still make sure that they are then taking care of their health, making sure they are not, you know, too overweight, because it's just so easy for an offensive lineman. I mean, I can attest to this for so long. You constantly have to feed and make sure you're above 300 pounds. Well, that's what you're used to doing for the past 15 to 20 years of your life. It's kind of hard to change up that regimen when you retire right away. So I definitely think there needs to be a push to make sure that these guys are healthy afterwards and taking care of their bodies. But, you know, either way, obviously, really sad that this happened. And like I said, one of the all-time greats in the NFL.
I find it interesting that he was your favorite player. Obviously, the offensive line connection, but I'm adverse to doing the math with your age versus his age. Do you recall watching him play, or is it just, you know, a kind of a historic figure for you that you went back to find the tapes and watch?
Yeah, he was more of a historic figure. Let's see, he retired in 2007. So, I mean, I was 5 years old when he retired. Okay. So I didn't get to see too much of him. That was more just watching his tape, seeing the type of person he was. And then there's also, and you can look this up on YouTube as well, he bench pressed 700 pounds. And that is, you know, most guys, you know, most guys can't even squat that much or squat half of that, let alone putting that on your chest and benching it. So I think that kind of speaks to just how much of a specimen he was. So that was obviously always caught my eye, and I was really curious. I would always go back and watch as much Larry Allen tape. And it was, you know, it was fun towards the end of his towards the middle. I guess he played with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith a little bit at the beginning of his career. And that was that, you know, watching that offense is really cool. But you just see how much they truly try to run behind him when he is in the game, because he would just move dudes out of the way. And if you have a guard that's moving a defensive tackle all the way out of the way, you're pretty much guaranteed to get at least 2 to 3 yards a chunk, no doubt. So having Larry Allen on your offensive line can do a lot of good for your running back.
Well, Landon, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, it really wasn't that cool to watch that offense. I mean, it was incredible how much talent they had on that team. But you also, you just mentioned, as an offensive lineman, the strength that he had, bench press 700 pounds. I won't ask you what your max out was as bench pressing, but how about on the team, Penn State, offensive lineman, what was the top, how did they top out with the bench press?
Yeah, you know, it is actually, if anybody gets a chance to go in the Lash Football Building, there's a huge board that's up, and it has each position, and then it just has a basic all-time. So you'll have everybody from running backs, quarterbacks, specialists, kickers. I mean, they have everything. So each position, and it has the you know, the best 40 time ever. And it's not actually, I don't think it's ever. I think it's the Franklin era that's up there. So there's no, you know, Kajana Carter or anything like that. No one like that's up there. But it's from the Franklin era, and it shows, you know, the fastest wide receiver ever, the lineman that can jump the highest, which is actually Caden Wallace. I'll give my guy a shout out. I think as a 315-pound, maybe even more, 320, I believe he had a 32-inch vertical. So that's pretty impressive. Yeah. You're able to throw down a basketball for sure. So you have those. You can see all that type of stuff. I believe the record, and I'm not even sure who holds it, but it's actually 495. And I got pretty close. I'll tell you what, double shoulder surgery did not help my case at all to be able to bench press, Jim. But before the shoulder surgeries, I was up right around I was right around 450, 460. But I'll tell you, when you start to get into that heavy of a weight, you know, number one, you're putting yourself at a detriment because it's just, it's very risky. Bench presses are, when you start to go up that high in numbers, it's not something that is, you're very protected by. You put your shoulders and your elbows in bad positions, but you start to plateau a lot. You know, when you go from 225 to 275 bench press, that happens way quicker than going from 450 to 475. I mean, that might take years to just move that 25 pounds once you get up to that type of strength. So to see Larry Allen be able to put 700 pounds on his chest and press it is pretty dang impressive. So like I said, rest in peace to an all-time great and a absolute physical specimen.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, the number sounded obscene, 700 pounds. And I'm basing that on, you know, seeing some of these figures, and not that I keep track of it, but I, you know, 500, I seem to recall reading that about guys, but 700, we're not talking about, okay, at Penn State, offensive lineman maxes out at 500 as the top, and then we're going to 550 for this NFL player. We're jumping from 500 pounds to 700. That's ridiculous, Landon.
It is. It's pretty insane. Yeah. And if you don't believe it, go look. It's all over YouTube. Now, granted, it's 700 pounds. He does have a spotter and all that stuff, and some people say it didn't count, but I don't care. You even attempt to put 700 pounds on a bar, deadlift or squat, let alone bench press, you have the respect of everybody in the room. So I highly recommend going to check that out. It's a quick video on YouTube, but it's a very interesting watch, and you won't see many other people complete that type of feat.
No, you won't. And the other part to this, and this is me showing my age, obviously I was around for the Larry Allen era, saw him play, is when you start to reach my age and you see these guys that you watch play who, well, he was younger than me, and they start passing away. And even, you know, when Bill Walton, who we talked about last week, these were the people you grew up watching them play, and they were almost these invincible type people, athletes, top of their game. So to hear them passing away, I imagine you have that too, as someone that you look to up to, that you even put in your book.
Yeah, it's really sad, and it sucks that he was 52 years old. And I can't imagine being on vacation with your family and one of your family members having to, you know, find that or have to deal with that. So it's just a really sad situation all around. But, you know, just praying for his family, and hopefully, you know, like I said, there's always things to take away from it. And just everybody, just make sure you're worrying about your health and taking care of yourself.
Very good, Landon. That's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk about starting in quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tenlaw. I am Jim Galante. We're taking on the entire world of sports and anything else that might strike our fancy. Sad story, quarter number one, we talked about Larry Allen, the offensive lineman, played for the Dallas Cowboys, passed away way too early. But Landon, another story this week that's getting a lot of play, and I know you and I hit on it a little bit last week, is Caitlin Clark. The stories just do not end. Still a lot going on. She got someone hard foul against her. No other way to put it. It was a hard foul. And, well, let me just get your take on it. What did you think, first of all, about the play itself and then the reaction that people had with it?
Yeah, I mean, my problem is people are then coming back and defending it and saying, hey, that's just basketball. Well, I say, okay, if Draymond Green did that to anybody, they would say, you know, it's cheap, it's dirty. Why is he doing that? It doesn't belong in the game. But, you know, right now, because Caitlin Clark has been dubbed as the savior, people are okay with kind of ragging on her and letting her have it. And personally, I'm not a fan of that. I think she has completely changed the way. I mean, just look at us. Would we ever be talking about, you know, the WNBA right now if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark? Or would First Take and Stephen A. Smith be spending this much time on the WNBA without Caitlin Clark? The simple answer is no. So I think that's the first thing, because this whole debate has been, hey, it's not just Caitlin Clark. She's not the reason that everybody is tuning into the WNBA. And I'm just going to say that's just completely false. I'm sorry. Even the numbers support. I just saw someone put out the numbers attendance of the WNBA games over this past weekend. And they were in the, you know, single digit thousands, you know, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 here. And then you look at the Caitlin Clark games where she was at, upwards of over 20,000 in both of her games that she played in this past weekend. So it's like, okay, I think it's pretty clear here. The common denominator is that people are tuning in to watch Caitlin Clark. Now, there's been a couple things that have happened. When she got shoved down like that, there was a lot, you know, Angel Reese was on the opposite team and she got up and started cheering that her teammate basically just, you know, roughing Caitlin Clark up, where it was clearly a flagrant foul. So there was kind of some, you know, there's bad blood between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And because there's always been that talk of, you know, who's better. And I think they play completely different positions, but I think it's clear who brings, you know, a little bit more attention to the NBA, the WNBA. And not to say that Angel Reese hasn't done that. She brought a ton of attention when she went to LSU and they were absolutely killing it down there. But now it is kind of starting this, I don't know if anybody's, Stephen A. Smith and a couple people are really getting into it on First Take. And people are saying, hey, Stephen A. Smith, you're a hypocrite. This is the first time you've covered the WNBA. You could have been doing this 2 to 3 years ago, and now you want to do it. And he's saying, you know, that's blasphemy, you know, classic Stephen A. Smith. And then, you know, you turn around and we have our beloved Pat McAfee, who is known to be able to say, and they have a disclaimer at the bottom of the screen. It says, hey, you know, we're not liable for anything we say. Please don't sue us. You know, something funny like that. So, but it's clear. And they put a message before the show that they're very well could be cursing and, you know, be careful with kids and things like that, because it is on his shows on ESPN, which is owned by Disney. So obviously they always have to be a little bit careful with all that. Well, didn't seem that Pat McAfee ran this segment by anybody, because he comes out and calls Caitlin Clark. And now he was saying it in a complimentary way. He was saying, you know, this, she has done amazing things, this girl down in Iowa, but he referred to her as this B word down in Iowa, white B word. So it wasn't exactly very flattering. And all of social media did not take a liking to Pat McAfee describing Caitlin Clark like that. So he got a lot of backlash. He since has put out an apology saying he shouldn't have said that, but he did stand 10 toes down, Jim, and said, but I stand by everything else I said. People are only watching WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. So do I think it's only Caitlin Clark? No, but I, you know, the people that are saying, hey, it's the entire draft class from this year, they're the reason, it's not just Caitlin Clark. I just don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't think if Caitlin Clark didn't exist, I really think the WNBA would pretty much still be where it's at. And they definitely would not be having discussions about having chartered flights now, because it's hard for Caitlin Clark to walk through an airport. I mean, that's the whole reason that LeBron James and these guys, I mean, they have to do charter flights because they would get absolutely mobbed. And it's also just not efficient to be on a non-chartered flight. So now they have fought and they are going to get chartered flights. And if you're telling me that reason is any other reason besides Caitlin Clark being in the WNBA, I don't think you're right. I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
Well, it's an interesting topic, and I'm going to touch the third rail here, which is Pat McAfee found out he called her a white witch. I substituted a W in there for the B. And I think what is probably the word that got him in more trouble was the white word, yeah. Okay? Because anytime you bring up a race, and I'm going to do it, so I'll risk us getting in trouble, Landon, is Caitlin Clark, very talented, very good player. She's the reason why there's all the attention, but also she does not look like every other WNBA player, okay? Yeah. And yes, that's partly race. But this is a story that's come up before. And I'm going to use the analogy, first of all, Tiger Woods in golf, okay? One of the things he had going for him was he didn't look like the typical golfer. The Williams sisters in tennis, they did not look anything like what most tennis players look like. And it garnered a lot of media attention. And I'm sure it also created some jealousy back then in those sports also. But the fact of the matter, just like you talked about the attendance difference for a Caitlin Clark game, it was the same way with Tiger Woods in a golf tournament. If he showed up, attendance and TV ratings shot through the roof. And guess what? So did the money going to golfers. They should all be thanking Tiger Woods, not be upset or jealous with him. Same thing here with Caitlin Clark. Instead of being upset with her, they should be thankful that she's there because, as you pointed out, everybody in the media is now talking about the WNBA. Stephen A. Smith had no reason to talk about them 2 or 3 years ago. He now has a reason, and guess what? That's good for all of them, not just in getting charter flights landed, but also increasing the salary base.
Yeah, it's just money in your pocket. Now people are going to WNBA games. People are watching the games. Merchandise is going up. And like you said, I mean, it absolutely helps everybody. So it's, you know, I do think, and we talked about this last episode, there is that piece of it that someone has come in and there's, you know, women in that league that have been there for 10, 15 years. And they have someone, you know, this rookie that's being dubbed the savior. So naturally, they want to rough her up. And I don't have too much of a problem with that. That is the same thing in a college football locker room. If you have a freshman that comes in, and I'll even share this story real quick. And I still talk to Abdul about it this day. When Abdul Carter came in, and this, he was actually really quiet when he first came in. And he was wearing number 11. And so, we're out there. It's one of the first days of camp. And I remember we were doing this pods drill where it's a two offensive linemen, a defensive lineman, and then a linebacker. And you basically double team the defensive lineman up to the linebacker. Well, it was me and Olu, and we go and we do it. And I get up to Abdul, and he kind of tries to duck under me, and I end up falling on top of him, kind of pancaking him. And I, you know, some explicitives in there, but I said, "You're not Micah Parsons," because he was wearing 11, and he was kind of being dubbed the next Micah, which turned out to be that. And I think, funny enough, that was actually, I think, the last time I pancaked Abdul Carter was like his second day of practice. After that, not very easy to pancake him. But, you know, naturally, I wanted to kind of go after him a little bit because he was coming in and kind of being dubbed as that next Micah Parsons. And it's like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. You're not there yet. So I think that is kind of what is happening with Caitlin Clark. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there is the fact of that, and people have talked about this on ESPN, Jameel Hill and Stephen A. Smith, all these other people, that, like you said, she is white in a sport that is, you know, we look at the NBA, the WNBA, it is obviously predominantly black. So there is that piece of it too, where it's like, okay, now she's taking over the league and she's taking over a sport where it really hasn't been dominated by anybody that looks like Caitlin Clark. So, you know, there's a lot, I think, of politics that go into this, but at the end of the day, I think everybody can kind of agree. She is helping the WNBA. She is the main reason all of this is happening and the reason we're sitting here talking about this. So, in the end though, it is great for sports. It's great for women's sports. And it's bringing some well-deserved recognition, I'd say, Jim.
Real quick, while we're on the women's sports push, I wanted to ask you this. We're getting more attention to the WNBA, but what sports out there do you prefer the women's version to the men's version? I bring this up also. Last week, we've had the College World Series, both softball and baseball. I've been watching the softball side. I haven't watched any of the men's College World Series. I actually enjoy the softball better at that level. What sports do you think you prefer the women's version?
Listen, Jim, all we do is spend all day talking about football, but have you ever seen women's arena football? If you haven't seen it, go and look it up on YouTube because they get absolutely violent in there. I swear. I mean, they get after it. I mean, they are cracking pads, and they only have They have these like huge shoulder pads, but they're not really that big. I mean, it is all like body to body. I'm not saying it's better than the NFL, but I'm just saying you should tune in to women's arena football. But, you know, I'm with you right there. I never really watched softball, but me and Jim, we had a softball event where we had the head coach, we had a couple players come in, and we were interviewing them. And we went beforehand to go watch one of their games. And we were sitting there, and we had a great time, had a couple of hot dogs. We were hanging out. It was a really cool experience. And I'm the same way now, Jim. I will tune in to some softball games because of that experience where we went and we watched a softball game. And I really don't tune in to any baseball games. It doesn't really interest me too much. But I'm a big fan of softball. I think, you know, especially Penn State women's softball, they do a great job. And I love it. I swear, there's way more cheering that goes on in softball out of the dugout. I mean, you hear it. They're cheering their girls on. They have these kind of songs that they go along with. And I don't know. I don't really hear that in men's in any men's sports. I think women do a better job cheering each other on, Jim.
Well, we're almost out of time with this segment, and I want to follow up on it because it was a great time. And I am a big baseball fan, but I watch the Mets or my team. That's who I watch. No jokes about that. But what I'm so impressed with is the level of talent at softball. It's a fast game. They are very talented players, and if you haven't seen them yet, definitely go out. We'll pick this up, though, when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We've been talking a couple of different topics. We finished up talking about Caitlin Clark and some women's sports. Just a reminder, our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's where I got my great Honda CRV. They gave me a great deal, took really good care of me. It was a fantastic buying experience. Tell you what, if you're interested in a Honda, I traveled 90 miles. I could have gone to any Honda dealership between here and State College. I chose to go to Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Check them out. Their showroom is on West College Avenue, or you can visit their website, BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right, Landon, we finished up. We kind of transferred over from Caitlin Clark to other women's sports that we enjoy. And we both we both like softball now. We've become converts to it. Coach Kroll and her team was excellent. By the way, I saw the Penn State softball team. They made it to the tournament this year. They made a good showing. They did win a game in the tournament. I watched it on TV. I was really interested in it. And I know next year I'll be going to more games. But I think what's going on, and I've seen that now, Caitlin Clark was probably the reason why I tuned into some college basketball games, but I stuck around saying, oh my goodness, they're playing really well. This is different than the women's game was 10 years ago, say. You know, Caitlin Clark with her range, shooting range, three-pointers. And now in watching softball, the bat speed that they have to get around on those pitches from not very far away. It's not 60 feet, 6 inches. They are much closer, and they really excel at it. The athleticism, the defense, the arms, just very, very talented. All right, before we switch up on that, we'll keep going on that. Are there other women's sports that you appreciate more than the men's version of it? And you could also, I think you had another point about softball too.
Well, you know, I will say I have a special place in my heart for women's tennis. We talked about Serena and Venus, but I'm a big Coco Gauff fan. If anybody, she beat Serena when I think she was 15 or 16 years old. Now, obviously, Serena was towards the end of her career and you know, much older. And I'm not sure, she might have even been pregnant at the time. But it was pretty amazing to watch her. I've watched her all last summer. So I'm really, I don't know exactly when tennis starts back up. I'm not going to pretend like I follow it. But when I see it on, especially in the dead of summer, late July, early August, I'm not a big baseball guy. So to me, there's really nothing going on. I, as you know, in the sports world, I will absolutely tune in to women's tennis. I'm a big fan. But tennis in general, I highly recommend. It's very entertaining to watch. And especially when people as talented, like I said, someone as talented as Coco Gauff. But what I do want to ask you, Jim, I'm sitting here thinking, and you were talking about pitching and being far away. What do you think is the hardest thing to do in sports? Because some people play it, say that it's hit a baseball, you know, others say it's, you know, play quarterback or, you know, hit a half court shot, whatever it may be. What do you think is the hardest feat to accomplish in all of sports?
You know, I think I'm going to go with hitting a baseball, and here's why, how to judge this. Now, if you get an athlete in their specific sport that they've trained to do over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. It's, to me, the challenge is, could you take someone who's fairly athletic and never played a sport and put them out there? Now, one could say if someone never touched a basketball and you put them out 20 feet and try to ask them to make a basket, that'd be pretty tough. But I think having a pitch coming at you, you know, at the major league level, it may be 90 miles an hour and moving, okay? Mm-hmm. There are sliders that guys throw over 90 miles an hour. I can't imagine someone who hasn't been doing this their entire life being able to just walk out there and hit a baseball.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I've never tried. And actually, there was just a video going around of Caleb Williams. He went to some baseball practice, and he was trying to hit a ball. And it was just kind of funny watching what is one of the most elite athletes around, and he can't even really hit a baseball off the tee. I mean, it was like it was teed up for him right there, like you're in Little League going out there, and he couldn't even really get it off the ground. So it does show how difficult that is. Hey, I tend to say golf, Jim. I was almost about ready to spike my club yesterday. I went out alone. I got canceled on by my editor that I always golf with, Michael. And, you know, he said, I can't make it. So I said, you know, that's fine. I'll go out. I'll have a nice little day to myself, golfing, put on some music. Very quickly did that day turn not that fun. And I went home after hole seven, Jim. I said, forget about it. And, you know, normally for me, it's either one is on. It's either the driving is on or the irons are on. And yesterday, it was all off, Jim. I thought it had to be one or the other. The answer is no. They can all be off at certain times. So I had a little bit of a rough day. But I do want to say, you said you'd pick baseball, and I didn't pose this question. But I would say going head-to-head with Mike Tyson, Prime Tyson, in the ring, I don't know if that might be the hardest thing. I don't think any American – I think you have a better chance hitting a baseball from one of the best pitchers from Skeens. Who's Skeens? I've heard, you know, Skeens is a big-time name right now in Pittsburgh. Just got brought up. I'm not sure if you follow – Everybody knows him because he's Livy Dunn's boyfriend. But, you know, so hitting a pitch from Skeens versus going into the ring with Mike Tyson, I think more people would have a chance to hit the ball than take down Tyson. I'd love to see Jim Galante versus Prime Tyson. I don't know.
Well, see, I think that as a different discussion. If it was just going into the ring and getting hit by Mike Tyson, I could do that. I don't want to do that. But I could do that very easily. I'm not going to be able to hit a ball. But I will mention this, though. After last week, I'm going to say maybe catching a kickoff might be the toughest task landed. But when you do that, any particular skill set, you know, in some of these sports, like hitting a baseball, these guys have been doing it all their life, okay? And I'm not saying that made it easy, but I'm saying that's how much they've trained for that specific task. The fact is, you know, not to begrudge football, where the athleticism is off the charts, but to run a wide receiver route and catch a football, a lay person could go out and do that. Now, they can't do it at the level of a top-end collegiate football player, let alone an NFL football player. You know, they're running a 4.3 40. You know, I'm probably running a 6.40, okay, if I don't drop over before the 40 yards is up. So, but it's, a different kind of skill. And that's why I think that hitting a baseball, especially how hard it's thrown and how much it moves. Now, golf itself, a golfer once, when he was asked about that with a base, comparing it to baseball, like, hey, the ball's not moving, it's just sitting right there for you to hit. His response was, well, you don't have to chase your foul balls. We do.
that's a good point, man. I don't know. I've never played baseball, so I can't speak to how frustrating it is. But if we're talking the most frustrating sport, I don't see how golf can't be up there. And I think the reason for that, like we just kind of said, is because it's you versus you. You know, I mean, I guess it's technically you versus the ball, but there's no, you know, external factors really. The ball is, like you said, it's sitting there and you need to take a swing at it. But, you know, you start to get in your own head and think too much, and that's when it all goes wrong. You are not able to plan for someone else. You know, for me, prepping against a defensive lineman, I'm saying, okay, here are his top three moves that he's always going to do. I know X, Y, Z, when they slant this way, I know that this play is coming. There's none of that in golf. It is just you, the ball, and the hole, and it can get really intimidating. You can get in your head. So, I know we always spend a lot of time talking about golf, or we bring it up a decent amount. But if you want to be frustrated, go out and pick up a golf club.
Well, to your point, and a lot of people, because lay people like myself, like you just picked up golf recently, and you're good enough to enjoy it, but not good enough that you're not going to get frustrated by it. And it oftentimes, lay people will talk about sports like a football and say, well, gee, Landon, if I were 6'5", 320 pounds like you, I could play football too. Well, the answer is no, you couldn't. But in golf, the thing is, well, gee, if I could hit the ball 300 yards like those guys, I could be like them. My answer is no, you can't, because there's so much more to the game, the short game. And think about this, Landon. Putting, if you two putt a hole, you probably feel pretty good about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Avoid the three putt. So if you got around the course 18 holes with a total of 36 putts, meaning you two putted every hole or average that, you'd be pretty happy with your performance. I know I would be.
Yeah.
Do you realize the good golfers, like a PGA pro goes around the course, may have 27 putts. And that's average. That's not a great putting day. 27. They beat you by 9 strokes on the green alone, Landon.
I know. It is interesting. I think we were talking about this, but one of the most interesting things about golfing is the fact of we line up on the tee box. Hey, I mean, this probably won't happen, but technically I can get up there and I might hit a better shot than Rory McIlroy off the tee box. Now, I am not at all better than Rory or anything like that, but that's not like – I don't really think that's a thing. I mean, you can kind of say basketball, you know, maybe you can make a half court shot and then LeBron tries it and he misses. But for the most part, there's no other sport where you can essentially beat a pro maybe in one hole, but then just get absolutely wiped the rest of the match. You know, I just think it's very unique of how the game of golf can be played, where really anybody can be on for a day or be on for a hole and beat someone that is clearly much more talented than them.
Well, I have a buddy that golf with a lot and where we go to our regular course, and we'll talk about the fact that, you know, at one point or another, I birdied this hole or at the very least parred it. So I'm physically capable of doing that on every single hole. Why can't I do that all on one day, Landon?
I know, dude. That's the most frustrating. You know, if I could ever put it all together, driving, my irons, chipping, putting, it never goes together. It doesn't. But I will say my best day ever was when my chipping is on. I think that's the biggest thing. Around the hole, putting the ball, giving yourself easy par, easy, making sure you're securing bogeys. Normally the pros, they want to secure a par. But, hey, I will take a bogey all day long. And just staying away from those double bogeys and sometimes those triple bogeys, Jim, they sneak up on you. And honestly, if I get to a triple bogey, I'll just pick my ball up. I'll concede the hole. I'll say, you know, the classic, hey, put me down for bogey.
All right, you've already learned how to cheat at golf. That's important. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We got one more quarter to go.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Quite the coincidence with the name, Landon and Jim, and Landon and Jim were the host, Landon. That worked out very well for us.
Just how we planned it, Jim.
There was another topic I wanted to bring up, and I know this was well before your time, but I remember this happening. I remember reading about it. But this week, Landon, is the 50-year anniversary. Okay, that's 1974, if I do my math correctly.
Oh, man.
The Cleveland, at the time, Indians, not Guardians, they held a promotion for a baseball game. It was 10-cent beer, okay? A 10-cent beer promotion. Now, the first question you might have, well, gee, that was 50 years ago. Maybe 10 cents was a lot of money back then. Well, just to help you out, Landon, and any of the other youngsters we have listening, that translates to, in today's money, 64 cents. Okay. So could you imagine going to a ball game today where they had 64 cent beers?
Jim, honestly, my first thought is just how much we are robbed. I don't mean to get too far off topic here, but I have seen, if you go to McDonald's, a McDouble is over $5 now. And people are talking about how it is almost cheaper to go to like a real restaurant, like an Outback. It's really not that much more expensive than going to McDonald's these days. So I do want to say these companies, they're getting us on inflation. But I can't imagine 64 cents for a beer at a ball game. I would say there's a lot of alcohol poisoning that would be going on at that ball game, Jim.
Well, and here's the other part of it. You know how now if you go to buy you want to buy a couple beers, that's about all you're allowed. Mm. Then at this game, you were allowed to buy six beers at a time. So if you had 60 cents in your pocket, you could walk away with six beers at that ball game.
Man, I mean, it's a great marketing tool. It just sounds like a bit of a recipe for disaster. Yes, we should try that out at Beaver Stadium. let people walk back to their seats with six beers for 60 cents and see how that works out. I don't know. We don't really exactly need more people in the stadium. We fill it up plenty fine, but it's definitely a marketing tool. And maybe some of those teams that are struggling. I mean, the Browns are doing a little bit better now, but if you're an NFL team, maybe you look into that and take a piece from, think about Sam's Club. Sam's Club has stayed on that $1.50, long hot dog that they always have. And I'll go to Sam's Club with a buddy every once in a while. And I'll ask him, I say, hey, you guys want to go to Sam's Club? And I don't have a card. You got to have the card to shop at Sam's Club. I'm not talking about that. We don't need to go shop there. We're going over to get some food at Sam's Club. Because, Jim, I will get me a nice long hot dog, two slices of pizza, and then a drink too. I mean, it will come out to under $5. I kid you not. I feel like I'm back in the early 2000s, and I'm sure people are laughing at that because I'm saying early 2000s. for some people back in the 80s, 90s, it's crazy to experience. But they came out and said, hey, it's never changing. So I think more places could benefit from, taking a little bit of a loss nowadays. Sam's Club sees a little bit of a loss. But guess what? I'm sitting here talking about it, and so is everybody on social media. So I think taking a little bit of a loss on some hot dogs is worth it for that marketing.
All right, just for equal time, I'm a Costco guy, and they do the $1.50 hot dog and a drink, and it's the hot dog is huge. Okay, that's a full meal, and it's the same way the pizza. They also have the rotisserie chicken for $5. Okay, it's already done, and they are huge. Okay, as far as chickens go, and we're getting off topic here, but like I said, we enjoy talking food. I want to give you a few other numbers from this game 50 years ago. They also had 50-cent bleacher seats, meaning you could get into the stadium for 50 cents. Now, what is that price today? Comparable would be $3.20 for a bleacher seat. Then your 10-cent beer. So think about it. If you go by today and 64 cents is comparable to that 10-cent beer, how about if you walked in there with 10 bucks, got your seat for $3.20, got five beers for 60 cents, that's another three. You put out your $10, you'd get $4 and change, a seat, and, you know, five beers.
And I'd imagine a hot dog wasn't too much more expensive either back then, Jim. Look, you guys, it sounds like you guys used to live the life. Now, like I said, we go to Wendy's and it costs $25 to get a Baconator and a drink and some fries. I don't know, Jim. You guys, I guess inflation got us because you guys used to live the life back in the day. But like I said, I can't imagine the amount of the drunkenness at that game for 10-cent beers. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that game.
Well, here's a couple more facts from that game. They estimated they sold 65,000 beers that one game. And it ended up essentially a riot in the ninth inning. They couldn't finish the game. They ended up forfeiting the game because of the fans. One of the players was hit over the head by a metal chair. I don't know where the metal chair came from. The players ended up having to defend themselves. They were getting hit by the fans. And perhaps to me, Landon, the most fascinating thing about this whole thing is this 10-cent beer promotion was not unique to that one night. Other teams had been doing the same thing. They just didn't have the riot.
Oh my God! That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, is there an arrest record from that night in the city of Cleveland? I'm curious. There had to have been a spike if we look back on that night in the city of Cleveland. Cleveland PD, the amount of arrests they put down definitely had to have spiked up. That reminds me. Like, remember when the Browns were running off the field? I think this was like 02, 01, and the fans started throwing down beer bottles at the refs. I forget what happened in the game, but the refs. It was essentially thought that the refs had screwed over the Browns. And I'm pretty sure it was, you know, it did happen. I forget exactly what happened. And they started rioting, throwing down bottles on the field. And that is when they kind of made the transition, I believe. It was after that, where all sporting events, they did not have any glass bottles. It was only cans. And they even cracked they take the top off the bottle for you when they give it to you. They will give you nothing that you can throw at all. So it's clear, I guess some stadiums have learned from that mistake, but I can't imagine that type of riot with people that are that drunk too. We're not talking about a sober riot. We're talking about an insanely drunk riot.
Well, were you aware, Landon, you know how, different places they have the giveaways? At one time they used to have a bat day. You could get a real bat as a giveaway.
I've never heard of that.
They were giving weapons to thousands of people in the stands and also serving them beer. Listen, now, what could possibly go wrong?
What do you need a bat for? I get the glove. I get the glove thing. You know, a little kid, he brings a glove to the game to catch a fly ball, foul ball, whatever it is. But a bat, I mean, what they want you to come up to home plate and take a swing at it? I mean, it's like you're asking for a problem. I mean, you see the type of fights. I mean, those are my favorite fights to see. I'll scroll on Twitter. And after the weekend, there was a really good one at UFC this past weekend. But the fights up in the stands are some of the funniest, craziest fights. And I can't imagine weaponizing it by giving someone a bat. And not only a bat, giving them, you know, you get 10 beers for a dollar. You're asking for some trouble, Jim.
Well, but it was supposed to be something you took home for your kid, you know, where the kid got it. And hey, it's a wonderful thing. You get a bat and they're giving it to you. So that is just, you know, awful. Because it's a weapon. Well, there was once a time in our society we were civilly enough that you could give thousands of people a bat and nothing would go wrong. Now, you just talk about these issues and arrests. You're aware, like in Philadelphia, for a while they set up a court system at Old Veterans Stadium. So really? They could what, get arrested.
There was a jail in the bottom?
Yes.
Wow, just like a cruise ship, huh? That's pretty impressive. You know what? I actually did hear about that. I think I want to say I had a friend that told me that he almost ended up down there. Won't say any names. but I think that I had heard about that because you Philly fans, you guys do like to get into it and get into some scraps and get drunk. You guys know how to drink for sure.
Well, I'll tell you a story that I had when again, for the old timers, 1986, okay? The New York Mets, they won the World Series that year. I lived in Philadelphia. The Mets were coming into Philadelphia to try and clinch the division. They were ahead by like 20 games. You know, they were going to win the division. It's just it was a question of which day they were going to do it. So New York is close enough to Philadelphia. New York fans invaded Veterans Stadium. There were probably an equal number of Mets fans as Philly fans. Well, this is another formula that's not going to work. I actually learned enough from living in Philadelphia that I would never go to the stadium wearing any Met gear at all. No Met hat, Met jacket, nothing. You just don't do that. The fights that I saw were incredible. But perhaps my favorite was watching Philadelphia police or Philadelphia security. If they got a hold of someone after breaking up a fight, I saw this landing with my own eyes. They were dragging a guy. They had him by his feet, dragging him down the steps. And the guy's shoulders, head was just bouncing on the stairs as he was being pulled away. It was like, oh my goodness. Again, you put New York fans, Philadelphia fans, and alcohol in the same room. That's what you're going to end up with.
Yeah, no, definitely never a good recipe there. But I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm so envious of people that got to live in the 80s and even the 90s because you guys just did more dumb stuff and you got to witness funnier dumb stuff because now, you know, everybody's got a phone and they're recording and that's kind of the whole premise, and that's what we're taught now at a young age. I mean, your parents say, hey, you know, anything you do is on video. Don't do anything stupid. You're always being filmed. I can't imagine that was really a thought in your guys' mind. I mean, let alone phones, there was barely even security cameras anywhere, so you could pretty much do anything. I mean, now you get in a fight about anywhere, it is recorded from somewhere, whether that's a CCTV camera, whether that's someone 30 feet away holding a phone. It's a little bit of a different time. So that's why I love hearing my dad's stories of all the dumb stuff that he used to do back in the 90s. But you guys had just a boatload of fun. We don't get to have the type of fun that you guys had back then because we're always looking over our shoulder.
And we got away with so much back then, Landon. Maybe that's something we should ask our listeners. Send in the dumbest thing you did that you got away with because no one was able to video it. All right, Landon, that's going to have to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next week. Next time we do, Landon and Jim versus the world.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.